Looking for all your fantasy footy needs? Look no further. You! You're listening to the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. Here's your host, Max Matthews.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. My name is Max Matthews, and we'll be looking at today how my team went this week and how it's been going since the start of the season compared to how it is now. Then we'll look at some of the best scores for the round, followed by some best trade ins and outs for this week. Notable break-evens will be up after that, as well as some players who might be due for dual position status after round six, with some new data on that. And as always, I'll go through my captain options and some listener questions and do my best to answer those. So at the start of the year, I was ranked 38,000. After a score of 1,967, so it wasn't the best start to the year, and was followed up by a worse score of 1,742, which dropped my ranking to 46,000. But in the past fortnight, I've flown up the ranks, so I was 27,000 after a score of 1,920 a fortnight ago, and this week I scored 2,226, which gave me a round rank of 1,025, and my overall rank's gone up to 12,634. So I'll just go through my team and just talk about how those guys played, because a lot of them are very similar to what your teams would be like, I would assume. I have a couple uniques in there that did pretty well, so I'll talk about them as well. So starting with Nick Dacos, 95, Finn McGuinness had the job on him in the first half and did pretty well, and then they obviously thought that they had to score a little bit more, so they just ignored Nick Dacos and let him roam free. Finished off with a 95, so not too bad. Wouldn't be trading since he'll be top of his line yet again this year, and it's nice to see him get the ball when he doesn't have those hard tags next to his name. Harry Sheasel, 121, so that's four 120s in a row for Harry to start the year, and I won't be surprised if he becomes the next million-dollar man. Also with the likes of Jack Steele, who has also had a good start to the year. So Harry has Geelong up this coming week, so it shouldn't be too bad of a matchup for him. Definitely not the best matchup that he could have, but certainly not the worst. After that, he's also got Hawthorn, Adelaide Crows, St Kilda, Gold Coast, and Essendon, so that's a really good run into his mid-season bye. So should be a couple big scores coming for Harry as well off the half-back line. Lockie Whitfield with a score of 106, so he had an early injury scare, and I think he sat out for about 15 minutes of that second quarter. Had 72% time on ground. Still was able to pick up 29 disposals and 7 marks from 72% time on ground, so that's obviously really good. And has St Kilda, Carlton to come. So a little bit difficult of a run after that Carlton game with the likes of Brisbane and Sydney. And he's also got Geelong the week before his mid-season bye. Hang Young, 108, so not too bad. After a few people would have jumped off him after his 75 against North Melbourne. So that's 129 and 108 following that game. And just looks like a pretty well-rounded midfielder when he's on ball. And I wouldn't be surprised if he actually puts up a decent score against Port, since it's more of a contested game and will be quite competitive. Massimo D'Ambrosio gets my negative 3 for the second week in a row after a score of 55. He spent 20 minutes on the bench in the last quarter and might be getting dropped this week. I'm not too sure, but obviously the Sam Mitchell wasn't the best with his rotations in the last half. Obviously didn't impress him enough to keep him on the ground for an extended period of time. So someone that might need to be monitored in the next week. Sorry, I've got a little bit of a cold right now, so I'm just trying my best to get through this podcast for you guys. So definitely someone that might be considering to trade out this week, depending on how his team selection goes. I don't think he will be omitted from the side, but definitely someone that might be a little bit of a risk going forward for fantasy teams. Zach Williams, 69. So started off really well. He had a 26-point first quarter. Thought this was the game that he would get over 80, but unfortunately he slowed down yet again in this game. So we saw him have 85% time on ground against North in round 3, but unfortunately that dropped off 11%, so down to just under 3/4 of the game. So obviously match fitness is a little bit of an issue for him at the start of the year. I'll be trying my best to hold him just through these best 18 rounds, and then I'll be looking to jump off him maybe to a top line guy. Also, obviously, DPP says quite a few people that will be able to go back for him, so we'll be able to use the cash in the midfield as well, I would assume. Has got Adelaide this week, so shouldn't be too bad for Zach Williams, but I'm just hoping that he can kickstart cash generation a little bit more. Still has a breaking of 48, so it's going to be interesting to see how he goes. Charlie Dean didn't get selected, so he's just red dot on my bench for loopholes. Blake Howes, second poor score in a row, so 23 and 30 in his last two. Adelaide wasn't a very tough matchup and still didn't score that well. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can keep his spot in that Melbourne side with a couple defenders still out right now. Obviously, Marty Hall wasn't there on the weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how that team selection goes. Moving to my midfield, and thankfully, after a Heaney 108, I decided to go with Marcus Bontempelli as my captain this week, and that paid off massively, even with that ankle injury concern that he's had for the past month. So he got 149, and there was no other player that scored more points than him this round. So definitely a big tick for my captain option this week. And I think it was about 15% of coaches had him as captain. About 20% had Tim English, so that obviously wasn't the best. After he scored, I think it was about 92. So Marcus Bontempelli was definitely the best option this week, and hopefully you guys went there. Connor Rosie, 133, very dominant in the first half, had about 90 points in the first half, kicked 3 goals, 20 disposals, I think it was. Only managed the 40-odd points after that, so hopefully he can string a game like that together where he performs a little bit more in the second half, and Essendon don't pay too much more attention to him, even though Essendon have their own troubles right now. But it's going to be interesting to see how Connor goes against some other tougher matchups coming up in Frio and Collingwood. But after that, it seems like his run to his mid-season bye is going to be very good. So if you're also Zach Buzz Butter owner as well, it's going to be pretty good to see how they both perform in the coming weeks. Matt Crouch sat at my M3 spot this week and got his usual 100 score, 106 it was. Lowest time on ground by 6% this year, so a little bit concerning. I heard that Nathan Van Berlo, the midfield coach, decided to give Jake Soligo a little bit more of a run in the midfield this week, so that just pushed Matt Crouch out of the rotations a little bit more, but still managed 30 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles when he was in there, so should be pretty good for the rest of the season, I would assume. Just hoping that they don't change the midfield up too much. Breaking of 83 coming into this round, and still averaging about the same amount as Roy Laird and Jordan Dawson. So if you went with him at the start of the year, you'd be very happy with that. Nick Mullen, another just really good score from him. Following his 44 disposal performance, he had 35. Really high time on ground again, so his time on ground isn't an issue, and because of that, he's able to score quite a few points in the halfback line when there's no one there. Sorry about that. So Western Bulldogs this week, and it's going to be a pretty nice matchup for him, maybe even a captain option you could consider, and he'll fly up in price yet again this week with a break-even of 68. Riley Bonner, again, really good score, but also with Matt Crouch as well, just low time on ground. So Riley Bonner had 69% time on ground against Richmond, so obviously that was probably his best matchup in the next few rounds. Still scored 94, so that's very good, but unfortunately that could have been quite a few more points. I know that he had two stints on the bench in the last quarter. So similar to Adi Ambrosio, he just doesn't get those minutes in when the game is on the line. So he had 24 disposals, 7 marks, and also kicked his first goal in a Saints jumper, so that was nice to see. Matt Roberts, 69, saved his score quite late. I think it was about a 40-point last quarter. Colby McKercher didn't really impress us that much as a more of a Lazaro role as a half-forward and a midfielder. Riley Sanders just gets the job done week in, week out for our fantasy teams. Always a really safe rookie score. Got 84 this week. Jai Clark on my bench, 35. Could get dropped really soon. Got subbed again. So that's his second time in 4 rounds. And Jeremy Sharp was unfortunately on my bench. So not really what I wanted, seeing a 106 sitting there. But it was really nice to see him get quite a bit of the ball on the wing. And that's probably going to be his highest score for this year. Has got Port Adelaide this week, so a bit of a tougher matchup, but then rolls into West Coast. Bulldogs, Richmond, and St Kilda in his next 5. So going to be a pretty nice run up to the mid-season bye, but he might be traded before that, depending on how he goes. Brody Grundy, 93, was expecting a little bit more against West Coast, but can't be too worried about his role or how he's going to score. I think he's pretty safe. His time on ground is a little bit low, so in the 70s. But 93 is pretty good from what we paid for him at the start of the season. Quite a few people will be moving off him this week. I'm not really sure if I want to do that. I might just take a red dot on my field and have my worst 3 scores cut instead of worst 4, depending on whether Harry Barnett plays, obviously. But I'll just need to think about that a little bit more. I have a few trade options that I might go to before I want to trade Brody Grundy out, but I'll think about it a little bit more throughout the week. My R2, Tristan Jerry, 102, so he's just been a really nice contributor fantasy-wise this year. Average score of 102.5, breaking up 65 against Geelong, who I don't really know if they're going to go Toby Conway or Reece Stanley each week because of their coaches obviously flicking the midfield around quite a bit more, and the ruck spot's up for grabs depending on how the ruckmen go every single round. So wouldn't be surprised if Jerry puts up another 90-plus score this week. And as I mentioned before, Harry Barnett didn't end up getting a game. Isaac Heaney did the job that he was meant to do for his owners. First score below 115 for the year. So obviously not probably what a few people were expecting. Was one of the most popular VC options this week. Still got a break even of 94, so we should see him rise over 950k after his bye. So obviously Sydney and Collingwood are on their byes this week. And Heaney is definitely someone that you need in your team after that bye if you don't have him already. I brought in Dane Zorko this week. Unfortunately, I couldn't get up to Sam Flanders, but Zorko actually outperformed Flanders by 9 points. So that was nice to see that happen against North Melbourne. So obviously a very nice matchup for the Zorks. So he had 28 disposals, 8 marks, also kicked a soccer goal inside 50, so that was pretty nice to see. And someone that I think a few people will be jumping on him this week, other than so Sam Flanders, obviously will be one of the most traded in players this week as well, and I'll go through that a little bit later in the podcast, but we'll be assuming that Dane Zorko will be up there with him as well. Tom Powell, so a lot of fantasy coaches have been talking about his disposals, but it was nice to see him get 15 tackles on the weekend and save his score quite a bit. Also had a tagging role on Lockie Neal at, I think it was the second and third quarter, so he was still in the CBAs, but just couldn't get the disposals that we've seen him get in the past few games. But if he does have 15 tackles and can get get 20 disposals or something like that, he will go well above 100 every single week. Obviously, we can't assume that he's going to do that for us. But with Geelong, Hawks, Crows, and well, actually, his run going into his mid-season bye is actually very good, apart from Port Adelaide in round 11. So we'll be assuming that he's going to score quite a bit more in the coming rounds, as well as Zach Fisher. So I know a few people jumped off him after a pretty lackluster start to the season, I'd say. Obviously, we'd be assuming that he's a top six forward. Right now, he's averaging 78. Still outperforming his break even every single game, but it's a little bit concerning. Has got Geelong this week, so it could go either way, but then goes into Hawthorn, Crows, Saints, and so on and so forth. So shouldn't be too bad, and I don't think that he would be your top trade priority right now. I'd definitely be going with the next guy out first, which is James Jordan. I think he will be the most traded out player this week, coming off a 60 against West Coast, which is very underwhelming for owners. I know that he was one of the most selected players going into the season. Still 26% owned at this point, but they'll definitely drop coming into the final trade deadlines that we need to make before the round starts. Brian Cooper Simpson to grab the loophole of Harley Reid, sorry. Did have Darcy Wilson on my bench, unfortunately, so I had him playing instead of Harley Reid, but opted to grab his points instead of Darcy Wilson's. Mainly just because I didn't think that Darcy would score that well against Richmond. I know that Richmond are a pretty nice fantasy team to score against. I just didn't really have enough faith in Darcy to score well. But it only mattered for 1 point, so I'm not too worried about that. Seth Campbell as well on my utility spot, 64. So rose up in cash, what's that? 39K, so still doing his job, break even of 20, West Coast this week, shouldn't be bad at all for people that have him in the best 18 week. So now I will just go into the best scores for the round instead of doing my usual match reviews. With feedback coming in, I think that it's probably best to just go through some of the top scorers for the round just straight up, rather than going game by game. So Marcus Bontempelli, obviously touched on him. He was my captain, like 15% of other coaches did. So the Bont had a very nice game, along with Adam Treloar and Tom Liberatore. So he had 35 disposals, 10 tackles, 3 marks, and 1 goal. Almost took Mark of the Year as well in that, and did rise in cash after dropping about 70K since the start of the season. So he will go up in price, I would assume, against Essendon this week as well. and definitely someone that you can look at trading him in, and probably someone that you'll probably want to hop on about now, because he will go up in cash and be over that $1 million mark before we know it. And it's just a bit of a reward for people that held him through those pretty bad games at the start of the season. Well, they weren't necessarily bad, but just a little bit of a lesser performance of what we were expecting him to. Andy Brayshaw is back scoring, so it's nice to see him with one big score on the board to start this year. Had 38 disposals, 7 marks, 7 tackles. Very well-rounded game against Carlton, one of the mediocre midfields at the moment, with Sam Walsh and a couple of the other guys out. But it's nice to see him score well. Someone that you can maybe look at, has got poor this week, so maybe just hold fire with that trade. But after that, he goes into West Coast, Bulldogs, Richmond and St Kilda in the 5 after that. So maybe look at the likes of Caleb Sarong and Andy Brayshaw after that game. Rowan Marshall for the 16% that own Rowan Marshall, you'd be very happy with a 136. So now has an average of 114. If you start with him, very well done. He's done pretty well to start this season off, now over $1 million. And it's nice to see another ruckman other than Max Gorn be the top scoring ruckman for the round. Zach Mira, another guy that will be a popular trade in sometime in the next few weeks, has the Bulldogs this week. Not expecting him to get tagged by anyone with the Bulldogs being so strong in their midfield as well. Now priced at 1 million and almost 50K. So going to be interesting to see if many people want to pay up that much, or whether some people might go with the likes of Jack Steele, who's now at 969K. I'll talk about him in a moment. Chunda Goey, it's really interesting to see how he performs every single week, because it's always quite up and down. So started off the year with 61, then 89, then a 28 somehow. I'm not really sure what happened that game. Followed by a 52, not sure what happened that game. And then just comes up with a 135 against Hawthorne. So definitely someone that I wouldn't be considering. You'd be very happy in draft if you played him on your ground. Similar to Joe Danaher, who also scored 135. Connor Rosie, 133. So as I touched on before, just dominated Essendon. Not much more that I can say about him. Tom Liberatore, 37 disposals. I think it was about 19 clearances, something extraordinary like that. One of the best midfield dominant games that I've seen in quite a while. Unfortunately, the Bulldogs couldn't get over the line. Jack Steele, so 131, just continues to pump out these really big scores for his owners. Would have been a popular guy to start with at the beginning of the season. But now 24% owned, and hasn't gone below 108 so far this season, so rewarding the guys that jumped on him at the start of the year. Toby Nankervis, obviously wouldn't be going with him with so many other ruck options. Errol Goulden, someone to definitely consider after his bye, now priced at probably what will be his lowest in a few weeks' time. And has got Gold Coast and Hawks in the rounds after that. So a guy that you probably want to jump on pretty soon. If not, he could skyrocket in price after a couple really good games. Nazir Wanganeh-Milera, back to doing what he was supposed to do in the preseason. And he had a similar score in round 2 against Collingwood. But topped that with a 127. So that's nice to see for his owners. So he's now about 16% ownership. So that's gone up a little bit more after this week. Harry Sheasel, 121, as I touched on before. Really nice game. Nick Martin, 114. Noah Anderson is one that you can maybe consider, as well as Josh Dunkley, both getting 100 and 13 respectively. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Dunks can continue his pretty nice form to start the year. Obviously has not gone below 100. Won't get forward stats, unfortunately, this year, being a dominant midfielder for the Lions. But it is always nice to see Josh Dunkley be amongst the top fantasy scorers for the round. Noah Anderson, so with the likes of Matt Rowell and Sam Flanders, it's going to be interesting to see whether his output can be as good as it was last year. Has an average of about 109, so someone that maybe can be considered. Hasn't gone below 90 yet, just a pretty consistent score every single week. Carl Amon, for the guys that haven't traded him out, you'd be pretty happy with this score. But obviously has the 87 average next to his name, which isn't what you wanted to pay up for at the start of the year when you could have gone with the likes of Matt Crouch. Jordan Dawson and Christian Petrarca, both 112. Nice to see them score well for their owners as well. Dane Zorko, as I touched on before, my trade-in from last week, 111, and we'll go through the top trade-ins in a moment. But it was nice to see him score pretty well. Max Gawn, 109, could have been a lot bigger after, I think it was about a 50-point first quarter. Hayden Young, 108 as well, just touched on him. Isaac Heaney, 108, he was also in my team. Elliot Yeo, 108, so his output to the start of the year has been pretty amazing from what we thought he was going to be. We thought he was going to be injured for a little bit to start the season off, but after his poor first game against Port Adelaide, he has gone pretty big with 98, 108, and 108 in his last three, and has got a break-even of 51 against Richmond, so should be another big game for him as well. Charlie Combin, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but he will definitely be someone worth considering in a pretty skinny forward line. Sorry about that. Zach Butters, 106, same as Lockie Whitfield, and Chad Warner, as well as Matt Crouch and Jeremy Sharp. Jack Sinclair, someone that you can keep your eye on. Wouldn't be jumping on him just yet, but finally got over the ton, which is nice to see. Played a little bit more off halfback this round as well. Okay, so after that, I'll just quickly jump over to the most trade in and trade out players. So at the top of the trade ins, we have Sam Closey, obviously after a very nice debut against a pretty interesting opposition. So 95 has kickstarted his cash generation really well. Had 92% time on ground, and 31,000 coaches have decided to trade him in, and now selected by about 25% of teams as of now. And he can definitely be fieldable after what we saw. His time on ground is going to be up, and it's going to be a kind of a luxury to have a guy that is able to score a 95 on your field at such a low price. Sam Flanders is the second most traded-in player this week. So 8,200 coaches have decided to jump on him. Total selection percentage of 49 now. Averages straight on 100 after getting moved to the halfback flank by Damien Hardwick, which was a little bit of a interesting decision. From what I saw, it looks like his output will be very similar to what it would be if he was stuck in the midfield. So it's going to be interesting to see how he performs in the next few weeks. Obviously, Hawthorn's a dream matchup for any defenders, really, if they just flick the ball around the ground. And they will be playing at People's First Stadium, so a little bit of a smaller ground, but pretty wide pockets. So he could jump in there, grab a couple plus sixes as well. Breaking of 96, he'll go up again But I'm not sure how much he'll score. Just a pretty consistent scorer for his coaches. 92, 119, 87 and 102 to start the year. And has got also West Coast in round 7. So definitely someone that you probably need in your team sooner rather than later. Charlie Combin, 7,200 coaches have jumped on him. I'd expect Geelong will be attacking for a lot of this game. So it will be down in Charlie Combin's defensive line for quite a lot of it. Obviously played as about a third tool in his matchup against, who did they play? They played Brisbane. Yeah, so it's going to be very similar this week with Geelong. So I would expect him to score maybe a 75-plus. I'm not too sure how he scored last year, but it's going to be interesting to see whether he can pump out another big score for the guys that are going to jump on him. I might be one of those guys as well, seeming as though our forward lines are pretty depleted right now. And I'm not too sure if I want to trade out a D'Ambrosio for Sam Flanders, but I'll need to think about that a little bit later. Will Graham against Hawthorn, obviously another pretty good option as a defender midfielder, so dual position status gives you a little bit more flexibility. That's probably the only thing that gets him above Sam Closey, but I'd definitely be going Closey first. Tristan Jerry against Geelong, so he's been traded in by 2.9 coaches, a similar amount. Dane Zorko, as I touched on before, Dane Zorko is now the, I believe it's the second highest averaging forward after Isaac Heaney, and then it goes to Sam Flanders. So someone that you might need in the coming rounds, but I was comfortable choosing him just because of the matchup against North Melbourne, and I'm not too sure if it's going to be the best idea to bring him against Melbourne. I know Melbourne is a pretty nice team for defenders to score against. I'm just not sure if people would like to take the risk on a guy that has quite a bit of injury history. I'm not too sure about that. But it's going to be fascinating to see how he scores against a pretty strong Melbourne outfit. Elliot Yeo, 1.9K coaches jumping on him, as well as Tom Powell. Ollie Dempsey also up there in the most traded in players after hitting 490K. Wangane Miller, 1,600 coaches jumping on him. Similar amount of people jumping on Jason Horne-Francis and Rowan Marshall. I'm not sure about Jason Horne-Francis. He's only played the 2 games this year, a little bit injury prone, but his output has been pretty good in the last in his games that he's actually been playing in that team. So he played West Coast in the first game that he played in with a score of 87, kicked 2 goals to get his score up to that. But it was much better to see him as a pure hard-bodied midfielder getting 31 touches from 62% time on ground. So it's good signs for Jason Horne-Francis, someone that you can maybe look at in the next few rounds and just suss out where he is and whether he can fit your team. And then it goes down Jack Steele, Jeremy Sharp, Lockie Whitfield, Nick Martin, and the Bont, as well as Harry Sheezel for the guys that don't have him. And then Mark Keane is the last guy with over 1,000 coaches training him in. So I am a Crows supporter, and I know that the defence has been on quite a few people's minds lately, and I wouldn't be jumping on this. I know he's got 90s in his last couple rounds, but I just wouldn't be, I wouldn't feel safe having him on my ground, knowing that he can pump out a pretty bad score 1 week and then maybe just trying to rely on the luck of, LA Crows being really bad with quite a few scores against. Obviously, his marks come from quite a few intercepts as well, so you can't always rely on him getting all of those marks every single game. I understand why people might be training him in, but I just wouldn't tick that off as a coach. Most trade out players, so unsurprisingly, Currently, so James Jordan will be the most traded out player this week. 21,700 coaches jumping off him after an average of 70 in the first five games that he's played. So it's not going to be a very good pickup later in the season, maybe unless he just starts pumping out 90s, 100 scores every single week. But I'd be jumping off him immediately. He's going to maybe even lose you money. Depending on how he performs, we're not too sure right now. With the 260 scores back-to-back, his break-even's now over what he scored in the last two rounds, so I wouldn't be too confident in holding him. And yeah, I'd advise everyone to jump off him, still 25% owned. Blake Howes, the second most trade-out player, 15,000 people have jumped off him against the Brisbane Lions. Maybe a selection type thing that those coaches would be thinking about, whether he'll be dropped or not, I'm not too sure. Brody Grundy, 7,000 coaches jumping off him, so I'd be going up to a Tim English or a Rowan Marshall. If you've got one of them, I'd be going, and you don't have Tristan Jerry, I'd be going down to Jerry. That seems like the most logical move. Nick Dacos, 5.6K coaches jumping off him, so I'm not too sure whether I'd advise doing that. Obviously, we know what Nick Dacos can do when he is let loose, and he has got dual position status, so you can flick him in between your defense and midfield. Obviously, you'd want him in your defense as a fantasy coach, and I just wouldn't advise trading out a guy that has averaged 100 plus in the past. And he's very close to averaging that as well this year. Massimo, I definitely understand why people are getting rid of him. Almost 5,000 coaches jumping off him. And depending on how Hawthorn line up this week, we might not even see Massimo. So have a look at how team selections go, and we'll think of what's the best move to go to if you have Massimo and are looking to trade him out. Matt Roberts, so 2.5K coaches jumping off him so far. Similar to Zach Williams, I'd be, best case scenario, you hold Matt Roberts and Zach Williams. If you had to get rid of one to maybe afford someone, I'd probably get rid of Zach Williams, just knowing that his output isn't the best compared to Matt Roberts. Matt Roberts obviously has hit a 90 this year, and he's also hit a couple 80s. So I'm not too sure if you want to let go of a guy with a 34 overall break even. He's still averaging almost 82 points, so it's nice to see him averaging well in the Sydney's backline. Obviously, a little bit of a weird ground to play on against West Coast, obviously. We were expecting a little bit more from him, but I wouldn't be too concerned with his role. Zach Williams, just match fitness isn't really where it's supposed to be up to right now. And I can definitely see how fantasy coaches want to jump off him to try to get up to a primo that they maybe don't have. Obviously, Harry Sheasel was over 1,000K coaches have jumped on him this week. Maybe they're getting rid of Zach Williams and going up to the likes of Sheasel and the likes of Whitfield, maybe. I'm not too sure what their thoughts are on that. Toby Pink, 1.9K coaches jumping off him, similar amount for Alex Sexton, who unfortunately didn't play for us. So all three of, actually the next five also haven't played. So Toby Pink, Alex Sexton, Chael Lazaro, Nick Caulfield and Zach Reed all didn't play last round. So it's understandable why people are getting rid of them. Christian Salem, the person after that, so over 1,000K, over 1,000 coaches have jumped off him against Brisbane this week. His output's been up and down so far this year, and I just wouldn't be really relying on him to get a big score every single week. But those are the top trade ins and outs so far this year. And now we'll just look at some of the break evens that are worth looking at the moment. So if we go to the lowest break evens, so Sam Closey with -22, Charlie Common with -3. So definitely those two guys are some people that will make you money very fast. And depending on how their output is in the coming rounds, it will probably shoot up quite quickly. Charlie Combin, obviously priced at 387K, so a little bit more of an expensive type rookie. But I'd be jumping on him now rather than later, mainly because best 18, it's probably the best weeks that you can jump on a guy like him and maybe just test him out in your forward line before he gets defender status. Sam Closey will get midfield status as it is right now. So those two guys will be probably the top five most traded in players this week. Max Ramsden, forward. I don't really know where I sit with Max Ramsden. I didn't really watch much of this game. But it's going to be interesting to see whether he can continue to pump out these 60 scores. Obviously wasn't the best guy on the ground, but it was nice to see him kick a couple goals. Will Graham, so against Hawthorn this week, and with Dimmer singing his praises for the young Gold Coast guys, he should be fine in his team. Jeremy Sharp with a 5 break-even, Mark Keane with a 6 break-even, Harvey Gallagher still sitting at a break-even of 7, Ryan Sanders still in the break-evens in the 10s, and then it's the likes of Ollie Dempsey, so he's got a break-even of 12 now. Harvey Thomas, after getting subbed on 15 points, has a break-even of 13. Darcy Wilson still has a break-even of 13, so obviously he's kickstarted his generation yet again. Jai Clark, 17, not really sure where I sit on Jai Clark. Harley Reid, so it's gone back under 20 now, so break-even of 18 this week. Seth Campbell on a 20 break-even, so gone up a little bit, but should be able to hit that against West Coast. And after that, it's a little bit slim. But then we can maybe jump to the other end of the break-evens, and it's the likes of Clayton Oliver, yet again, very high break-even, will go down a lot with a break-in of 153, so he only scored 47 against the Crows, so really weird output from him in quite a contested game. Obviously, the score wasn't very competitive, but a lot of stoppages, and it was just surprising to see him not score well. For once, Caleb Sarong, 146 break-even after an 82, so he'll go down in price yet again, unless he pumps out a pretty big score against Port Adelaide this week. Tim English, the highest break-in for a ruckman of 145 after a score of 93 against Todd Goldstein and Sam Draper this week. So interesting to see how he goes against the dual ruckman. Jack McRae, after being the sub, has a break-in of 143, someone to definitely look out for. Darcy Parrish, one of the most consistent fantasy scorers in the game, has a average of 85. After a 66 score on the weekend against Port, breaking of 142, so someone to keep your eye on as a little bit of a unique option leading into his mid-season buys. Tom Green, 88, a lot of coaches captained him, unfortunately, so it wasn't the best to see him score poorly, but with a breaking of 137, he should go down in price. Has got St Kilda, so it will be interesting to see how much he can score against the likes of Jack Steele and all of those guys. Marcus Bontempelli, so I talked about him a little bit earlier, breaking of 105 now. So someone to keep your eye on if you don't own him. I'd be jumping on him right about now before he goes back over that $1 million mark. Connor Rosie, 105, a lot of people do own him, but one of the more unique primos, so now 15% owned, so break-in of 105 also. Yeah, that's about it for break-evens, I'd assume. We are going to go a little bit over time, so only got about 10 minutes of recording left. So we'll go quickly to some people that might be getting dual position status. So for those guys, Nick Marden will definitely get defender status. Charlie Combin will definitely get defender status. Bonner will get defender status. Cole Amon will get defender status. Matt Roberts, defender status. Zach Fisher, Colby McKercher, Jack Lukosius, definitely someone that is worth considering maybe. Riley Sanders, as it sits, will get mid-forward status if he does not play this round, but is 1% off of missing out on that forward status. So hopefully Bevo blesses us with a little bit more forward time this week to be able to move him into our forward lines. And then we go to the likes of Isaac Heaney, who will get mid-status, same as Hayden Young and Tom Powell. Sam Closey will get mid-status, as we saw on the weekend. Ollie Dempsey will be a mid-forward. Massimo, so he'll most likely get a mid-status, being on the wing quite a bit. Harvey Gallagher, mid-forward status, will be up in round six. And Cam McKenzie will also get mid-status. And there are a few more that aren't mentioned that will most likely get some sort of status. But those are the most notable ones, I'd say, looking at the names on that list. So finally, I'm just going to go through some of my captain options that I think could be most suited to quite a few guys this week. So Max Gawn, going on a seven-day break, you'd assume that he's going to pump out a pretty big score against Oscar McInerney. So maybe a VC option there. Zach Merritt, Marcus Bontempelli, maybe Nick Martin, all VC options on the Friday night. Jack Steele or Tom Green match up on Saturday, so that's going to be an interesting watch. No one from Carlton or Adelaide, I think. Maybe Caleb's wrong against Port Adelaide. Obviously, their midfield's a bit tough to score against, but I think that Caleb will be able to score quite well against them. Connor Rosie, I'm not too sure with that Freo matchup, but it's going to be interesting to see how the midfield is going that game, since both teams are quite good around the ball. In the Hawthorn Geelong game, the only guy that I'd be thinking about would be the likes of maybe Tuke Miller. Sam Flanders, if you're really confident in his role with Dimmer moving him to half back. And then North and Geelong, Harry Sheasel, the obvious option in that game. Richmond West Coast, I wouldn't really be considering anyone from that matchup as well. So those are the guys that I think would be the best captain options this week from those matchups. So I'll go through some questions. So if you already have Heaney, Flanders and Powell, and you're looking to upgrade Jordan this week, which options can you go to with confidence? The only one that I'd probably be saying is Dane Zorko, mainly because his average backs up what he's been able to do on the field, and he just seems like a pretty consistent scorer when he is named off half back. And being in the top three forwards at the moment, I think that he will be a must-have when we're looking at best 22s in the coming rounds. I think it's worth jumping on someone like a Dane Zorko. And after that, there's not many guys that I would confidently go to. Charlie Combin, obviously a downgrade target to James Jordan this week. So he's probably the only guy that I'd go down to. Jack Lukosius, maybe watch him. He's been playing in the back line, getting quite a few marks, and is a pretty nice ball user. Also takes a few kickouts as well, so maybe just keep your eye on him. I would say Luke Jackson, but I am just not very confident in Sean Darcy coming back. I think it will be this week. And after that, I'm not too sure who else I'd go to. I know that someone has mentioned Liam Baker as an option, and I just don't trust him. He's Richmond's Mr. Fixer, and I don't think that he'll be able to perform with like 90-100 scores that we've seen him get in the first few games. So I'd be staying off him. I know he's got West Coast and then he goes into his bye. So obviously a nice matchup. But I'm not too sure whether you want to bring in another guy on his early bye. Maybe if he scores well against West Coast, you can consider him. But I just think I'd hold off him right now and maybe look at just going down to Charlie Comben. Is it a double downgrade to players like Closey, Graham or Comben this an option this week? Or do we... to bank some cash for players like Goulden and Dacos coming off their bye next week. So, yes, I think that it's definitely a player to double downgrade. Closey would obviously be the number one player that I'd be trading in this week with a negative 22 break-even. Second would probably be Charlie Comben with not many forwards being available to us right now with the scoring like he showed last week. And then, yeah, probably Graham would be the third rookie option that I'd go to. But definitely banking some cash for next week is something that you can definitely do to get the likes of Goulden and Nick Dacos if you haven't got them. After the buys are done in 2 weeks, how many rookies should you aim for on your field? Most people probably would have about five at the moment. So if we're looking at the best 22 from each team right now, so I am looking at maybe 5 to 4 so far. Depending on what I do with my trades this week, that's most likely what I'll be having. Obviously, not everyone's in the same boat as me. So I'd say about 5 would be the right amount of rookies to have on your ground. If you have less than that, then that's really good. But it's going to be interesting to see how many people had luxury trade options through the early rounds and how many good coaches have been able to move those rookies off field. I think that the mid-rookies are obviously the ones that you want on the ground and try to upgrade your defense and forwards as much as possible before the end of the best 18 games. So definitely those people are the people that you want to jump off right now. Is there much point in bringing in defenders at the moment, knowing that there are plenty of defenders that are about to get defender status, or do we just wait? I have Martin, Bonner, McKercher, Roberts, Fisher, who all go back in 2 weeks' time. Yes, a lot of us are in the same position. I have all of those guys mentioned there, so I'll just be holding off defenders. That's probably the only reason why I won't be getting rid of Massimo D'Ambrosio or the likes of Zach Williams this week, mainly because I can just hold them there for the next 2 weeks, and as soon as round six is done, I can get rid of them and just flick a couple of those guys into my defense line and upgrade elsewhere. Nice question. And a lot of people are in the same boat as that. What do we do about the guys that have defender status like Martin, Bonner, and Amon? So obviously, yes, they'll all get defender status in the coming weeks. If you have all of them in Classic, I'd just be holding all of the primos or mid prices that you've got in your back line until the best 18, and then you're able to flick them back there. And also, is Connor Rosie a must have? Probably not a must have. There are other guys similar price like Jack Steele and maybe even Jordan Dawson, Roy Laird, Andy Brayshaw, all similar price to Connor Rosie that have similar outputs to him. He obviously had a very good game against Essendon with 3 goals and about 30 disposals. So he won't do that every single week, but he obviously is a very nice player and taking on captaincy really well for Port Adelaide. So his output has been amazing so far this year. as my trades this week, I'm going to probably jump off. Well, I will be jumping off James Jordan to Charlie Combin. And for my second trade, I'm not too sure what I'm planning on doing. But right now, I've gone Blake Howes down to Sam Closey. That banks me 322k to upgrade, hopefully, to Errol Goulden next week. And so that means that I'll be holding Brody Grundy and taking a red dot on my field. So it'll be my worst three players that will not count to my overall score. So hopefully that doesn't affect my ranking too much. And hopefully the guys that are still in my team are able to perform well for me. So thanks, guys, for listening. I hope you all had a fantastic gather round. Hopefully you went to a couple matches and got to see some of your favourite fantasy players play well for you guys. So good luck, and hopefully we can rise up the ranks yet again this week. So cheers, and see you then.